Ladies and gentlemen, the Secretary General and Foreign Minister will each make a brief opening statement. We have time for a few questions. Secretary General.
Good afternoon. Let me start by saying that it's a big pleasure indeed to receive Foreign Minister Downer here at NATO. It's the second time that he has addressed the Council. It was, and I say this with great joy, our fifth bilateral meeting, which shows that the contacts between Australia and NATO have intensified. May I mention the first reason, of course, and the great appreciation for the participation of Australian forces in the NATO ISAF mission in Afghanistan. We knew that Australia was a very active country, very active nation as far as peacekeeping operations are concerned, be it in East Timor, be it in the Solomon Islands. But in Afghanistan, NATO's first big out-of-areas operation, the Australians team up with the Dutch in Uruzgan province, as you know. They had already their special forces there in the framework of Operation Enduring Freedom, but they now have really joined NATO ISAF. So that's the first reason that the ambassadors and myself have highly appreciated Minister Downer's visit here this afternoon. But there's a second reason, and that is, as you know, as the Riga summit approaches, NATO allies are discussing partnerships. How do you strengthen relations with partners? How do you strengthen relations with partners who share the same democratic values upon which NATO is built? And I think, as I said in closing the meeting a moment ago, Australia is definitely the avant-garde, to use that expression, in showing NATO what a partnership can mean. Without building heavy structures, but being pragmatic and seeing where you can, to the benefit of both parties, Australia and NATO, as we see in Afghanistan, strengthen your cooperation. I think that was very much the message Minister Downer brought to NATO this afternoon. We'll certainly not end it here. We have high-level staff talks in 2 weeks' time in Brussels. I had the pleasure of visiting Australia last year. In other words, I think it's a partnership which is growing and blossoming in the practical sense on the ground in Afghanistan, as I was able to see 2 weeks ago. But also in a political sense, because finally, the threats are global, and NATO needs global partners, and I think Australia is a very prominent example of what it can mean for NATO, and I'm sure what it can mean for Australia to be a partner of NATO. Once again, Mr. Minister, a very warm welcome to NATO.
Thanks very much, Secretary General. I'm delighted to be back at NATO again and to continue to consolidate the relationship between Australia and not just some of the individual members of NATO, but with NATO as a whole. And the cooperation between Australia and NATO in Afghanistan is, of course, witness to how this relationship can work as we join in a provincial reconstruction team in Oruzgan, in the southern part of Afghanistan, with the Dutch military forces and under the ISAF operation. So we look forward to looking for practical ways of building our cooperation with NATO. We confront many challenges together, even though we're on opposite sides of the world. We confront the threat of the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. We confront the threat of terrorism. We help deal with and try to rectify the problems of failing and failed states. So there are a variety of circumstances where, in the era of globalisation, Australia and NATO can come together. And finally, we have a concept which is an important concept of what you might call the broader Western Alliance, the alliance of countries that believe in liberal democratic values and freedom. And that country doesn't just include North Atlantic countries. It includes countries like Japan, the Republic of Korea, and of course our own country, Australia, which has been a great bastion of freedom for a very, very long time. And I think in certain circumstances, when we think about global security, we should think in global terms about the countries which must stick together, however formal or informal their alliance relationships may be, in order to achieve a better world. So, Secretary General, thank you very much for hosting my visit.
Questions?
Paul Ains from the Associated Press. Minister Downer, as you know, NATO is on the lookout for more troops in Afghanistan. Is there any chance that Australia could send more than it already has, or perhaps keep those special troops there for a bit longer, special forces there for a bit longer?
Well, we are just in the process of deploying more troops into Afghanistan, so we'll see how the provincial reconstruction team goes and the troops that have been sent to support that provincial reconstruction team. We've already and very recently increased the numbers that we were originally planning to send as part of that team because of the deteriorating security situation. I think, there are two issues here. The one issue is the Secretary-General won't mind me saying this. It's rather a controversial thing to say, but one of the issues is the number of troops, but another issue is the caveats that are associated with some of the deployments there. I mean, there are some non-caveated deployments which include countries like our own and the Canadians and the British and the Americans, of course, and there are other contributions which I know are enormously welcome and we're delighted to have them there, but those contributions have attached to them a number of caveats, and I think if those caveats could be reconsidered, that would give the overall contribution, the NATO contribution in Afghanistan, still greater potency where that potency might be needed. Now, I know it's a controversial thing to say, and I hope you won't mind me saying it, Secretary-General.
You're very helpful, Minister.
You see a good example of how helpful partners can be at a certain stage, because I could, of course, echo the Minister's remarks, as I've done many times before.
Mark John from Reuters. On the subject of partnerships, can I ask you both, what do you expect could feasibly come out of the Riga summit on partnerships, given the hesitancies of a lot of NATO allies on this issue?
Well, I think the Secretary-General knows more about this than I do, but of course, but I think in terms of the hesitancies, the impression I get is what they don't want is, some of them don't want, is some new formal arrangement. And, you know, from our point of view in Australia, I don't think, as I said, we want to be travelling over to Brussels week by week for formal meetings and arrangements. I mean, it's just a logistical nightmare for us, given that Brussels is on the other side of the world. So we're not ourselves so much looking for a formal document which articulates a kind of treaty relationship. What we're looking for is a development for contact countries of, if you like, ad hoc and pragmatic relationships, relationships relating to interoperability in certain circumstances, relationships in terms of dealing with specific threats such as improvised explosive devices, relationships based on common use of particular types of equipment and so on. Relationships based on understanding each other's doctrines. I think that's much, much more the way we would imagine those contact group countries or contact countries would evolve their links with NATO. And so we would hope that something like that would come out of the Riga summit.
Let me add that last week there was, as you know, the NATO foreign ministers meeting in New York, where there was strong support for a letter I wrote to ministers on the eve of that meeting, which contains a number of elements which allies are discussing at the moment. But the first one I would like to mention is indeed the flexibility in the formats. That means that you would see meetings with nations and allies who are contributing to NATO's operations and missions, as it is logic that Australia sits around the table when we discuss Afghanistan, given their participation, with allies who support NATO's operations and missions in the political sense. So that's, I think, support for flexible formats. And the second element I would like to mention here, which allies are discussing, that is, of course, what we call the Partnership for Peace toolbox. The different elements, the Minister Downer has mentioned a few very practical examples of that, that can concern the fight against terrorism, indeed, interoperability, IEDs, other elements of the NATO Defence Against Terrorism programme, led by Assistant Secretary General Marshall Billingsley, So opening the Partnership for Peace toolbox is another matter under discussion. I can't say here and now what exactly will be the result of Riga, because that is still about 10 weeks away, but think along these lines.
Last question.
Arthur Lobeck is Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Question to the Secretary General. Last week, the European Union's special representative in Afghanistan, Francesc Vendrell, suggested that more needs to be known about the Taliban, that possibly the West doesn't really know who it's fighting. What do you think? Is the Taliban, or are the Taliban, religious fanatics? Are they underpaid peasants? Are they the harbinger of a Pashtun national war, as suggested by the Pakistani president a couple of weeks back in Brussels? Thank you.
Well, they can present themselves, the Taliban, with many faces, as we know. I've introduced the word spoilers in a press conference with President Karzai in Kabul. Spoilers are those ones we are fighting who want to see Afghanistan becoming the black hole again, the filth state again it was under Taliban rule. By the way, among the worst human rights offenders the world has seen in history. So we are really fighting an enemy who kills the school children who are handed out school books and pencils by Canadian soldiers who were killed on the spot, as you know. Many faces of Taliban, we'll fight them. We'll fight anyone who tries to frustrate the process of nation-building, reconstruction, and developing into a democratic society, which is ongoing in Afghanistan. And then, to be quite honest, I'm not that much interested in who they are, if they are drugs lords, warlords, Taliban. Anyone who spoils the process will be dealt with, as NATO forces and Australian forces have shown and are showing in Afghanistan. There's another point Francesc Vendrell made, which I strongly support, and which has also been discussed last week in the NATO Foreign Ministers meeting, and that is that we need a better match between the civilian and the military in Afghanistan. That's what I have discussed with him and others in Afghanistan as well. But as far as the Taliban is concerned, they are present themselves with many faces, but I tell you again, and a spoiler will be dealt with.
I'm afraid that's all we have time for.